This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. This week's topic is how to build an innovation ecosystem inside your organization. This topic is a direct result of a listener question that was emailed to me. Now, before we dive into the subject, I want to give you the context of the question as it was written. And here it is, exactly the way it comes off of the email. Dear Phil, a problem in large organizations with innovative ideas is getting the sales team engaged to proactively sell your idea to customers. It's relatively easy to set up a market trial, but getting five account teams to sell this to help prove out the market trial is a challenge. The sales teams are just too busy meeting their targets with current products. What kind of incentive program should we put in place for new innovative products and services? What other ideas? Be good if you could take a service as an example rather than the usual product focus. Innovation can happen in services too. Now, I'm not going to read the name or the company, but just trust to say that this is clearly a Fortune 50, one of the 50 largest companies in the world. And this is an individual who was part of their innovation team. So again, the question gets built around this concept of, I've got this idea, in this case, it's a new kind of service. I need to go do a market trial. I got to prove that customers will actually buy it. But how do I then drive a solution test with salespeople, sales reps, those kinds of things? So, gets really to how do you build an internal support for your innovation? You can't do it in isolation. You know, you need to build this ecosystems of groups and departments that you need to support from making your idea successful. And that includes everything from customer validation, market validation, you know, prototype, proof of concept, limited trials, commercial launch. Now, this ecosystem needs to consist of all of the silos, all of the departments within your organization. In this case, this particular question is around sales. How do I get the sales team to sell an idea into a customer so that I can prove to senior management that this idea is going to turn into being highly successful or a big win? So, if you think about an innovation ecosystem, it really depends on your organization, the kinds of products and services, how you take your products to market. But think of the ecosystem of being the silos within your organization. So that could include operations, or what I refer to operations. When I say operations, I'm talking about things like finance, you know, the CFOs, the people that control the budgets, controllers, currency specialists. If you're in a large organization, you're dealing with products that get shipped into other countries, you get all the complexity of taxation and transfer pricing, those kinds of things. You need finance to be part of that team. Include IT, what IT services and resources this particular product may need, whether it's a software service or whatever. What about legal? Legal is another one. I put it into operations just from the standpoint of it's something that in most organizations is shared across all the different product lines and all the geographies of the world. So operations, whether it's finance, IT, legal, facilities, those kinds of things, you know, that becomes part of the ecosystem. Who do you need in that part of that organization to become part of and be supportive of the innovation efforts that you're trying to do? Second part of the ecosystem, one that I focused on in my previous career a lot of, was manufacturing and supply chain. Now, in the case of where you're building a physical product, in my previous life, whether it was a cell phone or laptops or desktops, large displays all the way up to TV size businesses, the ability, if you're going to come up with a new innovation, how do you get it into that supply chain? How do you take out very valuable cycle times out of a manufacturing facility to build your prototype product and then turn around and make it available for early tests and trials? And then the whole supply chain, buying components, getting components there. And then an area that a lot of organizations, if you're not familiar with physical products that you have to deal with, is what is referred to as the reverse supply chain. In the reverse supply chain, what we mean by that is what happens if it's a break, fix, repair, warranty repair, collecting old products back into an e-waste model so that you can recover those elements and process them appropriately so they don't have environmental impact. So you've got the entire forward supply chain, getting the product to retail, getting it to a customer, and then you've got the entire reverse supply chain all the way back. So manufacturing supply chain, if you build physical products. Another part of the ecosystem, the innovation ecosystem that you need to be supportive is product development and service delivery. So how do products get designed? Who supports the product? Product management, product marketing. How do you prepare the materials that turn into that product information that turns into getting it pushed out? This could also include relationships with retailers who are going to be then selling this product. Now, that same thing applies whether it's a physical product or a service. Service can be marketing consulting services. It could be other kinds of services. Cloud services could be another example where the customer is not buying anything physical but getting something in return that can be that has high value. And then let's not forget sales and marketing. You need sales and marketing support. That's really the basis of this question from this listener, is around, I've got this really great service idea. I need to go out and win 5, 6, 7 customers to trial this new kind of service and then use that feedback to improve it and, most importantly, validate it with senior executives so that it becomes a new product or service that is going to come into the marketplace. So again, you need this innovation ecosystem. It's an internal ecosystem inside your organization of players in different parts of the organization that have to rally around an innovation to be successful, whether that's operations, which includes finance, IT, legal, etc., manufacturing and supply chain, which could in turn then translate into the ability to get those products shipped into the marketplace, but more importantly, also bring it back as part of the reverse supply chain. And then product development and service delivery. How do you actually work with product management, service management, to actually conceive and develop documents and information and manage it as you would any other mainstream product? And then ultimately, you have sales and marketing. How do you sell it? How do you market it? How do you get that team involved even in the early trials in order to drive through and make sure that that is successful? So back to this original question, which is around, I've got this idea. I'm trying to do a market trial in the case of this listener. And the challenge they ran into is getting sales teams, because sales teams are so focused on the near term. And look, all of us are busy. You've got to keep the lights on. You've got to keep driving the work that's going on that brings in the revenue, while at the same time being able and be willing to drive some form of innovation, tests, experimentations, et cetera. And a lot of organizations struggle with being able to do both. Good leadership does both. It delivers both against the blocking and tackling and hitting the revenue target, making the quarterly results. There's no free pass on that. And at the same time, you have to be able to be and be willing to go out and try do these trials, experiment, and try to come up with that next thing that ultimately then moves over and becomes just part of the product catalog that drives that growth. So we're going to continue on the conversation. In the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about where does innovation typically get it wrong in organizations. But ultimately, by the time we're done with today's show, I'm going to equip you with some very tangible types of steps you can take inside of organizations to build this innovation ecosystem, and then ultimately use that to drive success when it comes to doing your tests, doing your trials, getting into the market, and successfully launching products and services. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Before we hop back into the show, I need to do a quick shout-out to one of our sponsors, Zoom. Zoom allows us to bring in the guests and to connect, stay connected around the world with our team. Without Zoom, we would not be nearly as effective as we are. Zoom allows us to have video collaboration, document collaboration, brainstorming sessions, all within the same environment. I've been using Zoom now for the last 2 years, and I use it multiple times every day. If you haven't checked out Zoom or tried it yourself, get on it and try it. You will not go back. We've worked out with Zoom to get you a free account. Hop on over to killerinnovations.com/Zoom. You will be able to get a free account that allow you to collaborate with up to 50 people. That's right, 50 people. And trust me, once you try it, you will love it. So let's pick up where we were discussing around building an innovation ecosystem inside your organization. How do you pull together from all parts of your organization to be successful in innovation? Now, why is it so hard to get all the parts of your organization to be supportive of innovation? Now, look, when I was CTO at HP, let me tell you, it was incredibly hard. When I started in the CTO role, we were about 40,000 employees. And when I retired at the end of 2011, we were 120,000 employees. Now, many people think that just because I had a title of CTO or I had the support of the CEOs, whether that was Carly or Mark Hurd or whoever, that some form of top-down declaration that innovation is important would be enough. Trust me, it's not. It doesn't matter how many times a CEO stands up or some senior executive stands up and say innovation's important. You need to be able to show it. You've got to do it by action. You, if you're the innovation leader, and I'm assuming you are, you're the one that has to get out there and really build these relationships. Now, where have most innovation teams failed? And look, I've made these mistakes. So what I'm sharing with you is not me trying to preach to you to do better. I have lived through all of these mistakes myself. So the way to do it is around, you know, innovation teams tend not to share. We close off the walls. We're not going to talk about it. It's confidential. You don't have clearance to hear about it. So there's already this sense of secrecy or not inclusion, lack of transparency, which, let's think about that. That is not how you build trust, right? But we tend not to share as innovation teams. We also kind of have a little bit of a superiority attitude. In some cases, I'm on the innovation team. I'm in charge of innovation, so therefore I'm more important. Even if you don't have that attitude, particularly if your team has the word innovation in its name, it gets projected onto you. And there's some form of animosity as to, well, why is that person working on innovations and I'm not? Is my department, is my job, is it me? I'm not as important to the organization. And then compounding all of this is we wait until the last minute when we need help. And then we just kind of throw it over the wall. You know, I need sales support, or I need marketing support, or I need PR support, or I need finance, or I need IT. And we'll tend to throw it over the wall at the very last minute. And then we get surprised when they get ignored and the innovation gets dropped. There's no incentive. There's no self-motivation around that effort around innovation. And so here you are, particularly if you're an isolated team, you have the name innovation in your organization. And here's another piece of advice. If you've got the name innovation, if you've got the word innovation in the name of your project, or even on your business card, ditch it. Get rid of it. Because as soon as you have that word innovation on you, it actually paints a target on you. Now, I learned this at HP, where I formed what at the time was referred to as the Innovation Program Office, right? Thought it was a cool name, a little play off of IPO, right? But let me tell you, that painted a target on us like, you know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Then I come and I become the CEO at the company where I'm at now. We are a nonprofit, tax-exempt R&D innovation lab for the industry we operate in. And then about a little over 2 years ago, we did this reorganization we called the Pivot to dedicate resources. So 50% of our spend is focused on long-range innovation. And the leaders were looking to create an organization with the word innovation in it. And I was giving them some pretty poignant advice. You don't want the word innovation. People don't feel inclusive coming in and working with the term innovation, right? No. They want to do it. And I'm one of those leaders that will let my teams, you know, drive those decisions because ultimately they have to own it. Well, 2 years later, I'm pretty sure people are kind of wondering, you know, maybe it wasn't such a great idea. You know, it takes a lot of effort to get people over that term because they just automatically has so much baggage related to it. So if you are segmented off a separate team and you're trying to drive innovation, one, get rid of the name, and two, be prepared that other people in your organization are not going to be all that open and excited to work with you or wait for you to throw it over the wall. They may actually be excited to work with you, but they want to work with you in a way that actually brings them in, includes them in, lets them be part of the whole innovation effort, not just you're the services side. You need to go figure out how to bill for this, or you need to figure out how to set up a server for this, including them in. We're going to talk about that coming up here, where I've got some very specific steps that you can take to actually build this ecosystem so that you can get them to be supportive of your organization. The first, though, is you've got to recognize that as an innovator within your organization, is that it's not, you can't sit back with your arms folded and say it's their problem. It is ultimately your problem, right? It's ultimately your challenge to get those innovations out from being just something theoretical in a funnel and actually ship those and get those out into the hands of your customers or potentially new target customers. So the first step is recognizing the problem is yours, not theirs, and then think about what things you could do to change, like be more transparent, don't rely and don't say, well, the CEO said, share more. Don't have that attitude. Be open to input and participation from others within across the organization. And fundamentally, do not wait until the last minute and just throw it over the wall, because it will land with a splat. Trust me, been there, done that, and have had more innovation projects blow up in my face than I would care to count. So Stay tuned. In the next segment, we're going to talk about some specific tasks that allow you to be more innovative. And we'll be right back after this break.
Whether you travel for business, vacations, weekend breakaways, romantic interludes, or family adventures, you'll learn about unique destinations and tips to make your travel smooth, efficient, hassle-free, and inspirational when you listen to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Enjoy our fast-paced show, traveling from beaches to mountaintops, cities to fairy tale castles, whether you're traveling for business or adventure. So pack your bags and join us.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple to understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time, but some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630. Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information.
800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. Before we hop back into the show, I need to do another quick shout-out for one of our sponsors, which actually happens to be HP. Now, I know some of you are saying, hold on, Phil, you were CTO at HP, you were at HP for a total of 10 years. Yes, that's right. HP's recently partnered with us here at the Innovators Network, and specifically on the Killer Innovation Show, to support our efforts. Now, if you're a longtime listener, you know that any money I receive from any of my efforts, whether it's my book or the card decks or my workshops or even the radio show sponsorship, any money that I receive then gets funneled off to our nonprofits, hackingautism.org or pioneer.education. You can go check out both of those 501c3 charities, and through the support of all of our sponsors, not just HP, we're able to actually put more money to help those that can best benefit. So check it out. HP has been providing all the equipment that we use here in the studio if you want to check it out. We're actually in construction on the second studio, and we'll be able to kind of reveal that here probably another month or so, I'm going to guess, and it's really cool, really tricked out. So check out all the gear that HP has been providing us, both the Z2 workstations, the EliteBook 360s, new displays, new monitors. We couldn't do the show without them, so thank you, HP. If you want to see what they're supplying us, see the latest and greatest gear, hop on over to killerinnovations.com/HP, and you can see for yourself. So far in today's show, talking about the ecosystem of innovation, we've talked a little bit about, you know, the challenges of the silos in response to the listener question around how does he get sales to support kind of his market slash customer validation. Second segment, we talked a little bit about the challenges and actually what do we do as innovators wrong when we're inside of an organization to try to persuade participation. What are we going to talk about in this segment is how to do it right. How is it that you can create these this ecosystem and getting the support from across your organization? So what should you do? And here's five things. Number one, build innovation interface points across the organization. Treat those interface points, whether it's one person in each department that you need to engage with, could be multiple people within a given organization, treat them like they're part of your team. Their role is to be your evangelist inside the silos when you need that silos support. Bringing somebody in, getting them to participate, actually giving them full visibility to the project allows them to best represent how their department can support. Do not wait until you need them. Don't wait until the end, like, hurry up, I need sales, hurry up, I need manufacturing, or I need whatever. Do not wait until you need them. Have the relationships well in place before the first crisis appears. So again, build innovation interface points across your organization. And look, people were more than willing to come in and volunteer and be part of your team. So you just have to go and ask them for that support. Number two, identify the catching team early. Who is going to catch this product or service? Assuming you've got some kind of an innovation responsibility, you're coming up with an idea, you're going to go through market validation, eventually you'll do some form of a limited trial of the product or service, and then eventually you're going to launch it, and then it's going to need ongoing kind of support and a team around it. Where in your organization is going to catch it? What's that catching organization? Who will own that innovation after that launch? Get them engaged early. Don't ask for a lot of resources up front. Just identify and get agreement that if certain things are met, that that's where that innovation is going to land. And most importantly, ask for a named individual who is going to own it. Who on that side of the organization is actually going to be the person that's going to own it. Then step three is ramp the resources. As the innovation gets traction, you know, you're starting with a raw idea, you do a little market validation, now you're into customer validation, you're talking to some customers. Then what you want to do is you want to start asking for more of those resources to get involved. As the innovation gets traction, ramp up the resources from the teams as needed. Don't ask for 50 resources day one of the project. Put your own skin in the game. Put your own resources on that. Get it proven out early on. But as you start getting traction, start gradually ramping up the resources from other parts of the organization, in particular, the catching organization, the person that's going to own this product or service at the other end. Coinciding with that ramping up of the resources from other parts of the organization is to ramp down your team's involvement. And again, this assumes that you're an innovation team, you're trying to seed the organization with innovations and ideas. So as you're ramping up the resources from other parts of the organization, you are actually ramping down your involvement. So at the same time you're ramping up, you're getting a good level of resourcing, but you're backing away. Now, let me tell you, this is probably the hardest thing to get right. What's the right level of ramping up? What's the right level of ramping down? And how does that all coincide as part of that effort? Now, step number five, and this is even harder, is let the catching organization get the credit. Now, I know some of you are going to be yelling it in your car, or I'm going to get emails about this, say, no, it's my idea, it's my innovation, me, you know. Trust me, let the catching organization get the credit. Your boss, if you've been doing a good job of managing your pipeline, your leaders know where those ideas are sourced from in the funnel. Your role here is to get buy-in from that outside team that's going to love and be as passionate about this idea, as about this innovation as you are. And there's nothing more that drives that passion and that love of an idea than feeling ownership, the feeling that it's your idea. So let the catching organization get the credit. It's the easiest way to win over those innovation ecosystems inside your organization. And the easiest way is not to focus or worry about who gets credit. Now, early in my career, I was the person that wanted all that credit, right? You know, young whippersnapper coming in the early PC days, I'm going to change the world. These old gray-haired people don't know anything. Well, guess what? Now I'm one of those gray-haired people, right? And what I learned over my 30-year career in the innovation game is that actually the more that you don't worry about the credit, the more you let other people take the credit and be successful, the more that comes back credit towards you anyways, right? Because if you're doing good work, people will recognize it. And if you're in an organization where you have to worry about that, then you might be in an organization that is just way too political for innovation to be successful. So again, let's walk back through these five things. Build the innovation interface points across the organization. Find those people that can be your interface points who you can bring in on those projects early so they have good visibility. Number two, identify the catching team, the catching organization early so they know that ultimately if this thing is successful, it's going to be theirs. Three, ramp up the resources from these other parts of your organization as this innovation proves itself out and as it starts to get traction. Number four, ramp down your involvement. So as you get through and you're doing limited launch, you're still involved, but you really are letting that limited launch be driven by the organization that's ultimately going to be involved in this project long term. And by the time you get to global launch, you're out. You're off on to the next idea. You're working on making the next innovation successful. And then number five, let the catching organization get the credit. Don't worry about the credit yourself. Trust me, in my experience, the more I let go of needing to feel like I needed to hold on to the credit, the more that came back as part of benefit to me in my career. So let go. Let others own it. Let others hug it. Let others get passionate about it. Let them feel ownership for it, because that's what's needed to translate innovations from these raw ideas and actually launch them and take them into the marketplace and let them be highly successful. Don't hug them so tight, keep them to yourself, that they die. Ideas without that don't become real are of no value. They have to get executed. So go out there and try to let go of it and let it flourish. So stay tuned. When we come back in the next segment, we'll talk more about incentives and how that plays out. We'll be right back after this break. Carpenters have their hammers and saws. Chefs have their outfitted kitchens. And musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. I want to go back and touch back on the original question that the listener submitted. So let me read it to you once again. Phil, a problem in large organizations with innovative ideas is getting the sales team engaged to proactively sell your idea to customers. It's relatively easy to set up a market trial, but getting five account teams to sell this to help prove out the market trial is a challenge. The sales teams are too busy meeting their targets with current products. What kind of incentive program should we put in place for new innovative products and services? Or what other ideas? Be good if you could take a service as an example rather than usual product focus. Innovation can happen in services too. But first off, I want to tag on the last line here. Innovation can happen in services too. Innovation can happen anywhere, from the receptionist to shipping and receiving to services to products. Innovation can happen anywhere. But the fundamental question is what incentives should or could be in place? What we've talked about for most of this show really is about how do you build that innovation ecosystem? How do you get people and get that connection? Incentives, I view as being kind of a layer on top of that. How do you make it so that they get incentivized, rewarded, motivated to actually commit an abnormal amount of time, I guess would be one way to describe it. So what incentives should or could be in place? Well, I say yes, incentives are important. I would encourage you to get some form of an innovation incentive put in place as part of the overall compensation and bonus structure, right? In organizations that I've been involved in, we actually make innovation part of everybody's bonus, everything from the shipping clerk to the people at the reception desk to the people who work in making sure that the drink coolers are stocked. Everybody is incentivized around some form of an innovation. Now, I'm just going to talk about two here really quickly that I think apply to this particular listener's question. First off, one incentive you should put in place is number of innovations that resulted in new products and services. When I was CTO at HP and we had the innovation program office, that entire team, and in fact that entire organization, got measured by translating two innovations into a new product or service per year, right? So two per year. And so therefore, everybody in the organization wanted to know and wanted to track it. Are we on track? Are we going to get those two innovations this year? What is it that I can do to make sure that those innovations actually turn into something? So number of innovations that result in new products or services. One metric that you can put in. Now, second one is percentage of revenue from new products or services launched in the last X years, right? This is what we refer to as the 3M metric. 3M actually motivates and incentivizes their innovation teams around percentage of revenue from new products or services launched in the last 3 years. And they want to be at a certain percentage rate. So year four, some of that revenue rolls off and new revenue has to come in. And so therefore, it's constantly feeding what that mix is between the innovations that are old versus which ones are new. Now, again, if you put these measurements, metrics in place, then you need to track them and you need to be transparent. You need to let people throughout the organization know where you're at. How many innovations do you have in the funnel this year? How many of those innovations are actually translating into something this year? And then the second one is percentage of revenue. Do you even have the financial metric and tracking system to report that? Now, these are just two. These are just two to start. There's a lot more. In fact, there's other shows in the past that talked about innovation metrics and how do you put those in place. But I'm responding specifically to this particular question from a listener around sales incentives. So, you know, in this case, I would probably take that last one and say, what percentage of the sales quota does it require that it become, has to be part of an innovation project, right? So do you say 5% of the sales quota every year has to come from an innovative product, something from the innovation funnel? Therefore, then they can't make more than 100% of their incentives if they don't dedicate some percentage of their time to the innovation. I wouldn't make it a big number because then you just disincentivize people to work with you because they just give up, right? But you want something in there that becomes meaningful that they're willing to commit some time and some resources. Now, like I said, there's a lot more metrics, and maybe what I'll do in a future show is I'll actually dedicate an entire show just around how do you use metrics to incentivize teams within organizations to work with you and translate those into new innovations. So if you have a question you would like answered in a future show, please drop me a note. Just send it to phil@killerinnovations.com. Or if you're part of the community, you can drop me just a direct message in Slack. If you are not part of the innovators community, you should be. Check it out. It's a private Slack community where those interested in innovation hang out. Now, I'm in the community every day. In fact, I was just in it before I came down here to record the show. I'm in it all the time, looking at the great conversations, responding, throwing my own ideas out, and actually putting out questions that I look for feedback on, even the innovations I'm working on. So I'm in the community every day. For info on how to join, visit theinnovators.community. So again, that's theinnovators.community. Check it out and become part of the conversation. Thanks for listening. The purpose for me, why I do this show, is to pay it forward. It's in response to Bob Davis, my early mentor in my career, when I asked him how I could pay him back for all the time and energy he put into my career. He laughed and said, "Nope, you can't. I have to pay it forward." I started this podcast back in 2005 as a way to pay it forward. And a favor that I ask of you is for you to pay it forward. Tell others about the show, share the show with others, use the information, and then let me know how it works for you. Don't miss any episodes. Subscribe in podcast app over on iTunes, Google Play. We're also now in the iHeartRadio app or any other app location where you find your favorite podcasts. Also would appreciate if you hop on over to iTunes, leave us a comment. That's a big help in helping get the word out about the show. And with that, we're going to sign off for this week. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us and listen in. Love to hear your feedback. Go out there, use your innovations and change the world. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio,